Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, hey! I could get used to this starting the work week on a Monday night. I could. I could be on a schedule like Scott Farrell, who doesn't start his work week until Monday evening. Of course, then, unless the boss was gracious enough to pay me to do only four nights per week, I would have to work late on a Friday night into a Saturday morning, which I've done. I did that the first 2 years that I was here at CBS Sports Radio, and that's no bueno. So instead, we'll just get through this four-day work week and really enjoy it. And by we, well, I mean me, unless you also had Monday off. It was nice. It was really nice because it was a long family weekend. For those of you who didn't know or don't follow me on Twitter, my niece graduated from college this weekend, and so the whole family got together and took a road trip. Oh, I don't remember the last time I took a family road trip. It's been a while, and it wasn't bad. It actually was fun. You know, people get cranky and whatever, but we mostly had a really good time. And so there were six of us on the road trip, and then we met my niece in Charlottesville, Virginia, where she graduated from the University of Virginia. And I counted at least a dozen references to the men's basketball team winning the national championship. I'll tell you about those a little bit later on, because there were some cool moments there, and it was neat to be there where they're still obviously very excited about the first national championship in their history as a school. But it was all about my niece. And for those of you who have gone to college graduations, either recently or even over the weekend, because it was the weekend for a lot of college commencement ceremonies, if you are talking about a major university, you have to spot your loved one in a very large crowd. Now, in the case of Deanna, we had our work cut out for us because she was walking in a processional that was 2,000 people strong. And we kind of knew where she was. We knew she was toward the back as a graduate in the engineering department. But we were peering, eyes peeled, for more than 40 minutes waiting for her to come down the ramp in front of where we were sitting. And so that was, seriously, it felt like it was our challenge of the weekend. Oh, that and sitting outside in 90-degree heat, because both of her ceremonies, the commencement and the actual diploma ceremony with the engineering school, they were outside in the sun. So my poor niece had to sit outside in her black robe and her dress under that. And so my brother and I, we decided instead of sitting under the trees, like many of our family members did during the diploma ceremony, we were going to suck it up and sit outside in the hot sun like she did for almost 2 hours. And we were really proud of ourselves for that. So it was an awesome family weekend. Charlottesville does a great job with their commencement. No real irritants in terms of traffic or crowds. And so I'm so thrilled that I had a chance to experience that. But mostly I'm happy for my older niece and also really proud of all the work she's done. She graduated with highest distinction and will now move on to her engineering job, in which she will be researching unmanned aircraft. Research and development, that's what she'll be doing moving forward I wouldn't call it aerospace. I would call it in the airplane industry, in the flight industry. Anyway, so really proud of her, my favorite mechanical engineer in the world. And I appreciate those of you who sent tweets. There are a couple pictures up on social media, at least on Twitter. So you can find them on A-Law Radio. And I'll try to put a couple up on our Facebook page, though. I don't generally put photos of my family up on social media. I try to protect them a little bit. But I have a couple of fun stories to share with you. And we have a lot to get to in this 4-hour show because, of course, it's one of the busiest weekends of the year. We had the PGA Championship wrapping up. Obviously, the conference finals in both hoops and hockey. There's a lot of baseball news that's going on. Insert a little bit of drama with the Lakers, who just, I feel like they need to stop talking now. All that has been said, it needs to be all that is said. There should be nothing else said. But the thing is, Magic Johnson really likes to talk, and you knew it was only going to be a matter of time until he had to air his grievances and tell his story. And so we've gotten his side of the story now, and it was a bit cringeworthy. I'm not saying he shouldn't give his perspective if he feels like he's been wronged or betrayed or stabbed in the back, only that his beloved organization, and he makes it very clear how much he cares about the Lakers, about the franchise, about what it's meant to him to be a Laker. The more you talk, the more you open up that Pandora's box, the more you allow people to see what's going on behind the scenes, the worse that organization looks. So if you really love the franchise, this feels like the wrong way to expose what was happening. So we'll let you hear from Magic Johnson, and we'll also let you hear from Frank Vogel, brand new Lakers head coach. Yay, congratulations. And we'll also let you hear from Rob Pelinka, the general manager who remains with Jeannie Buss in Los Angeles and now has to kind of deal with the fallout even more. Although this may be rock bottom. Could there be another rock bottom for the Lakers, or is this actually rock bottom? Longest streak in history without making the playoffs, and now you've got friendships and working relationships and a franchise that's kind of coming apart at the seams or being pulled apart at the seams. So we'll get into the Lakers a little bit. And in 30 minutes, we're going to head to Los Angeles and try to make sense of what this means for the future and how much Magic will remain involved, too. That's another interesting question. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So on Twitter or on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, this is a legit question, though I feel as though the way that sports fans roll, or they kind of ride the waves and generally go with the flow. In other words, your opinion one day may not be your opinion the next day, and you don't apologize for it at all. We're very fickle. We reserve the right to change our minds over and over as sports fans. We can be irrational. We can be illogical. But I'm wondering if now Steph Curry has answered all the questions about whether or not he's still one of the best players in the league, whether or not he can lead a team, whether or not the Warriors can win without Kevin Durant, whether or not he still got it, quote unquote. Because those were all questions that we heard in that Houston Rockets series, even going back to the first round. Oh, Steph doesn't have it anymore. This team is not any good without Kevin Durant. In actuality, Steph Curry, a two-time NBA MVP, one of the best shooters in league history, a decorated champion, chose to take a backseat and adjust his role and remain flexible to accommodate Kevin Durant. We knew that was going to happen. We knew that there were going to be times when Steph wouldn't get as many shots or wouldn't be the driving force or wouldn't be in the driver's seat. We knew Klay would get fewer shots. We knew that Kevin Durant would become the focal point of the offense many times. But if there were any doubts about Steph Curry as a player, as a catalyst, as a shooter, as a leader, as a point guard, as a quarterback, as a champion, I feel like you can kind of put those to bed now. But maybe that's just me. The Warriors sweep the Blazers. I could say it another dozen times, I probably will on this show, and I still can't get over it. Not because they won. That doesn't surprise me. This is a favorable matchup for Golden State, and I've said it multiple times. I try to explain this to my mom as well, because we, the whole family crammed into two hotel rooms on Saturday, so we spent a bunch of time together in close quarters. So I was explaining this to my mom about the backcourts and how great CJ and Dame are together, but that they don't have an advantage over Steph and Klay because of the experience and everything else that we've seen with the Splash Brothers in their career. And so I believe this was a favorable matchup for Golden State, but Damian Lillard was right when he said before this matchup in game four in Portland that they very easily could have been up 2-1 in this series. He was right. The major difference being that championship heart, that championship medal, and the defense. The defense of the Warriors was fantastic in this series. Now, there were times when the Portland Trailblazers shot the lights out. The team shot 16 of 41 from beyond the arc. They were lighting it up in the first quarter again on Monday night. 35 points in the first quarter for the Blazers. 34 in the second quarter. Shooting wasn't really the issue. They shot better than 40% in this game. The issue were the breakdowns on defense. And how many times, especially in game four, the Warriors went straight to the hole. Straight to the hoop. And so the difference in this series, for sure, was going to be the championship experience and the ability to ride the wave, not to mention the Warriors' ability to score points in bunches. But to sweep Portland in the West Finals? I said the same thing about the Boston Bruins in the Eastern Conference Finals in the NHL. A sweep at any level is extremely impressive. It's not like we haven't seen the Warriors do it before. Was it 2 years ago? 2 years ago that they ran through the West playoffs without dropping a game and they had three consecutive sweeps? 2 or 3 years ago. Either way, it's always impressive in the postseason, but to do it against a team that came in as hot as the Blazers, that themselves had been pushed and were playing their best basketball of the year, even without Yusuf Nurkic, to get a sweep in the West Finals in a series in which they trailed by 17 points in three consecutive games. And to add injury to insult, no Boogie Cousins, who I keep forgetting plays for the Warriors. No Boogie Cousins, no Kevin Durant at all in this series, and then no Andre Iguodala in game four. You've got Alphonso McKinney starting his first playoff game in his career. You've got multiple guys who graduated from the G League who are picking up career minutes now. Wait until I give you the bench stats for the Warriors in this series. They'll blow you away. As much as we are dazzled by Steph and Klay and Draymond, the bench stats for the Warriors in their sweep of the Blazers, off the charts. Their hashtag strength and numbers, extremely accurate. And so the Warriors take out the Blazers, this time in overtime. So many cool stats out of this series. If you're a basketball geek, it's not really about the Warriors, but if you love hoops and you love the numbers, if you're a nerd like me, these will really float your boat. So we'll get to that coming up, but only after we give you the reaction from Portland, the Moda Center, the end of the Western Conference portion of the playoffs. And by the way, the Warriors desperately wanted the series to end tonight because now they have 9 days off until the finals. The NBA Finals don't tip until Thursday, May 30th. I'm pretty sure it's a Thursday. Thursday, May 30th. So for them, is there a possibility Kevin Durant could be ready? All these guys banged up, like Andre Iguodala, they have the chance to rest. So this was huge for them going into a series in the NBA Finals that is a completely different opponent. with a lot of stars, whether it's the Raptors or the Bucks. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Are you satisfied now? Did Steph prove to you that he's still an elite player, that he can still be the man? And then also on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Curry near wing. Screened by Looney. Curry doubled. Dribbles around it to the rim. He scores. Left-handed layup on the right side of the basket. And Curry makes it a 104 all game with 4:34 to go. Stephen Curry off a screen, gets around Myers, Leonard down the lane, feeds Draymond for a corner three, and it's good! Draymond Green has given the Warriors a 108-106 advantage. It was a two, apparently. Clay backs up and shoots a three. Why not? He rattled that one home, and we are tied at 111. Curry trying to relocate, gets free. Doubled immediately on the catch. Over to Draymond for three. It's up and good! Draymond Green, 119-150, Golden State, and Portland wants time.
The group has a fiber to them where when guys go down, they find a way to come together and compete and win. Starts defensively. If you can defend at a high level in the playoffs, you always have a chance. I just think the experience of winning titles helps you in these moments.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
No doubt, trailing by at least 17 points in Game 2, Game 3, and again in Game 4. And yet, this time, with an extra few minutes on the clock in overtime, Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors reached their fifth straight NBA Finals, only the second team in league history ever to do it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can find us on Twitter or on Facebook. We've got the show announcement you've been waiting for. That's coming up maybe next hour, although I suppose I'll have to repeat it more than once since our audience turns over. But for now, the Warriors sweeping the Blazers to reach the NBA Finals again. So for those of you that predicted it would be a foregone conclusion, well, look, you turned out to be right. But come on. Even if you are right and the Warriors are the team that you picked to go back to the NBA Finals, fact is, this is an unlikely, improbable way to get there.
We know we can cover 17 points in a matter of 3-4 minutes. And so we always try to keep that mindset that we're never out of the game and we just need to make solid plays. It definitely helps to have number 30 who, you know, they go up 17 and he hits a three. You know, it just kind of puts them back on their heels and it shifts the momentum for us.
He refers to Steph Curry, who wears number 30. Steph with 37 points again in game number 4. So think about this. 36, 37, 36, 37. Those are his numbers, his points for the 4 games in the series. He also has 12 rebounds and 11 assists. And so Steph Curry ends up with a triple-double, so does Draymond Green. Every time I watch him run the offense, well, run the defense, talk on offense, he really is the quarterback out there. He's the constantly communicating. There's no way you can miss his voice. He takes that leadership role seriously, and he's a different style than, say, a Steph or a Clay, but they need a guy like that. They need a guy who can get them riled up. They need a guy who can put them in the right places, who isn't worried about offending anybody when he gets in their faces. First teammates with playoff triple-doubles in NBA history. How about that? That's never happened before, but Steph Thompson and Draymond Curry. Steph and Dre, we're just going to go with first names. They both end up with playoff triple-doubles. The idea that the Warriors get back to the NBA Finals, not that far-fetched. I think for the Blazers, first conference finals in 19 years, the fact that they had been out of the playoffs in the first round 10 of the last 19 years means that this was a big achievement for them. However, it's hard to reflect in the moment, right? when what you're doing is nursing wounds. And they were so close. And Damian Lillard said it more than once. We could have been up 2-1. But the coulda, woulda, shouldas, that's tough. When now you have a long offseason to consider not just the way the Golden State Warriors were able to erase all those deficits, not just the way they steamrolled you in those moments when they had to do it, like the 12-0 run to wrap up the third quarter and start the fourth quarter on Monday night, but also about their shortcomings.
They've got great players. You know, I think the first thing everybody looks to is the shot making. So you say, you know, Steph and Clay, they, you know, shooting the ball all over the place. But, I mean, Draymond Green, he's nonstop talking on the court. He's rebounding the ball. He's basically the point guard on the team. He's pushing the ball. He's making plays. He's calling out our plays. I mean, he's controlling everything for them. And I think because he's always so vocal, always on top of everybody, always kind of managing everything for him, it keeps them consistent. You know, they steady. And I think for us, we game two and game three, we were great for three quarters. But the one quarter where we weren't, it was the third quarter. And, you know, they made big runs in the third quarter. And I think that was when they got back into the game each time.
And it happened again. It happened again on Monday. Only 16 points in the fourth quarter. It wasn't about the offense, really. It was about not being able to maintain those leads, not being able to protect those leads, not having that killer instinct. And maybe, just maybe, a little bit of that looking in the rearview mirror, a little bit of that hearing those footsteps get louder and louder and louder. It happened in game two. It was stunning. Then it happened again in game three. It becomes a pattern. Maybe it becomes your big weakness. And then in game four, you almost expect it. So congratulations to the Warriors and to the Blazers, who had a fantastic season. Who knows how things could have been different with Yusuf Nurkic. He should be back at some point next season. Let's hope. He's only in his mid-20s. He's putting together a career year. But then you think, you're going to talk about the Blazers' injuries, then you think, wow, again, no Boogie, no KD, no Iggy, and no problem, a sweep. Coming up next, we pivot, and we will talk about the Lakers and the dumpster fire, disaster, mess, debacle. There are a lot of different words you could use to describe it, to be sure. Both Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka speaking out. Wah, 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 wah.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
If you're going to talk betrayal, it's only with Rob. I didn't like that Tim Harris was too involved in basketball. He's supposed to run the Laker business, but he was trying to come over to our side. Jeannie's got to stop that. You got to stop people from having those voices, Molly, yeah. You talked about. It's too many people at the table.
Mm-hmm. We need to build togetherness with our organization, okay? And I don't just mean with the 15 guys or 17 guys that are going to be in uniform or in that locker room. Okay, I'm talking about organizational togetherness, all right? Starting with ownership to the front office, to the coaching staff, the players, the trainers, the business side. Okay, we are all going to be pulling in the same direction.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Any chance that was a coincidence in Frank Vogel's introductory press conference that he talks about needing the entire organization, not just the players, but the front office, everybody, to be on the same page? He was introduced as the Lakers' new head coach, while Magic Johnson, who's no longer with the Lakers in anything but an ambassador capacity, was talking about betrayals and talking about too many people being involved in the decision-making. So it was a kind of a a wide-ranging day for Lakers fans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Trevor Lane, who is the senior writer for Lakers Nation, also hosts the Lakers Nation podcast. And Trevor, before we talk about the nuts and bolts of this, I'm sure it takes some time to digest, but as someone who covers the team, what's your initial reaction to everything that we heard on Monday?
My initial reaction was just complete bewilderment that Magic was airing the dirty laundry of the organization on live TV, and that it was happening just hours before they're introducing their brand new head coach, when you knew Rob Pelinka was going to have to go out there and talk. He was going to have to face, for the first time in 5 weeks, he hadn't said anything publicly since Magic had been let go. So this was just shocking. Couldn't believe it was happening, but it is the drama that seems to always be swirling around the Lakers.
Do you believe him?
Do I believe Magic as far as his version of it?
Yes.
You know, it seems like he's got he got some information that Rob some things really took that personally. And to me, it comes across as a little bit childish. You know, oh, he was saying some things behind my back about how I'm not there and everything. Well, if you're really there, then that doesn't really matter much to you, because you know it's not true and people aren't going to be believing that. If you're really there on a daily basis and doing what you should be doing as the president of basketball operations. So, you know, I think that Magic did feel like he had been slighted, that he was wronged in some way, and then he kind of lashed out in response to that. But that's not the look that you want. I don't think Magic came off very well through this whole ordeal.
I thought it was interesting, somewhat amusing, that Frank Vogel addressed the fact that the organization needed to be on the same page. How would you interpret Rob Pelinka's reaction, though, to what we heard from Magic?
You know, I thought Rob actually came across very, very polished. The way that he responded, he deflected a lot of it, and I mentioned that he was surprised at you know what Magic had been saying, and that it had been misconstrued, and that Magic was mistaken, and that he did a good job of kind of deflecting as much as he possibly could in that situation. He handled himself very, very well. But, you know, he couldn't have been pleased, given that there was supposed to be a day set up to introduce the new head coach and bring in Frank Vogel and celebrate the fact that they've got someone else coming in to run the ship. And 75% of the questions had to do with Magic Johnson and what was going on externally, everything else flying around the organization, instead of, you know, talking about Frank Vogel and what he could bring to the team.
Trevor Lane is the host of Lakers Nation podcast with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. How do you think Frank Vogel fits as the brand new head coach coming into all of this turmoil?
You know, I like Frank Vogel as the coach, especially today. I think he won a lot of fans today. Frank handled himself extremely well, and I think that he addressed a lot of the concerns. You know, people have said, hey, his defense heading into the defense he had with the Pacers, it's a little bit outdated for the modern NBA, and the same thing with his offensive system. And he talked about how he's been really studying and doing everything he can to try to modernize his game. And a lot of his way of thinking has changed and kind of evolved over the years. So I thought that was a real positive. And then talking about getting everyone pulling in the same direction, that's been an issue for the Lakers organization for the last few years, where they haven't been able to get the entire front office on the same page. And that includes the coaching staff as well. And so him saying that that's something that needs to occur and will occur, I think was right on the money. So I was really impressed with Vogel, and hopefully that's a sign of things to come.
Has anyone heard anything from Jeannie Buss?
No, she has been pretty much silent, although Ramon Shelburne did have a piece out today, which was in some ways reacting to it, and she usually has a pretty direct line to Jeannie Buss. But aside from that, nothing official from Jeannie, and that's been one of the big criticisms, that she hasn't really stepped out and made it known that she's in charge. This was her opportunity to really step up and say, look, everything's going to be okay. I've got this. I'm running the show. I'm making the decisions. And she just hasn't done that. And that's been, I think, to the detriment of the team.
Well, I'm going to ask you this question that I asked a friend of mine who works inside the NBA. And his answer was somewhat comical. I don't even know if he was being serious. But I will tell you his answer after you tell me yours. Who is actually making the decisions for the Lakers behind the scenes?
Well, I wonder if your friend may have said Phil Jackson, but because we've heard his name come up. But I really think it is Jeannie. But what Magic's criticism was that she's got too many people in her ear telling her different things, including, you know, you've got Kurt Rambis and Linda Rambis and all these other people that are involved. You know, we've heard Phil Jackson has had a say in things as well. Maybe too many cooks in the kitchen, but ultimately the responsibility does rest with Jeannie Buss.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Rambis family, because my friend, again, who works inside the NBA, said it's Kurt Rambis's wife.
Linda Rambis, yes. Well, and you saw the press ask Rob Pelinka about her, and he kind of rolled his eyes at the question. He wasn't thrilled to be having to answer that one.
So, Trevor, what happens next? Where do the Lakers go from here?
Well, next they've got to figure out what to do with their draft pick. They've got the fourth overall pick in the draft, which is coming up towards the end of June, and they've got to figure out whether they're going to trade that pick and try to bring in somebody that's going to help LeBron James right now, or if there's somebody out there talented enough to make it worth it to hang on to that selection. They also need to do with the candid, try to spin the narrative. You know, we've been hearing so much negativity about the organization for the last few weeks, and of course, Magic Johnson's media tirade this morning didn't help in that endeavor at all. So they've got to do what they can to turn the narrative around as much as possible, because you don't want to be that franchise that's in turmoil when you're heading into free agency, because that's just not a good look. They've got to get people focusing on the fact that they've got three big things going in their favor, and that's young talent, LeBron James, and cap space. And they need to focus on those three things as selling points for free agents this summer.
Okay, then I have to ask, if you are a free agent watching from afar, how attractive is this situation? Not to mention the LeBron James wrinkle, which means, of course, that you'll never be number one, at least as long as he is playing at his prime.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very attractive when you look at the situation. You'd have to really, they're going to have to do a lot of convincing, and the question is, can Rob do that? Can he handle that? Magic was the guy that was supposed to be the one playing free agent now, and Magic is doing the opposite. So it's going to be a big issue for them. They're going to have to prove that there is stability in their organization, that they are all on the same page, because that's something that the free agents don't want to see. They don't want to see a front office that is fractured, that's divided, and that doesn't have a clear and coherent plan moving forward, especially when you're talking about guys that are, you know, like Jimmy Butler, who are going to be getting up there and making their time left. You've got to prove to them that you're ready to go out there and win right now. So that's going to be a hurdle for them moving forward.
Trevor Lane is the host. Well, he's a writer, but also a host of Lakers Nation. And the podcast is one right now that's scintillating. You need to catch it, because they try to make sense of what's happening with the organization, this organization that's meant so much to the NBA, but right now is in a bit of turmoil. You can follow Trevor on Twitter at Trevor_Lane. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes from LA, Trevor. I really appreciate it.
And no problem. Thank you so much for having me.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.